I'm Luke O'Neill, and welcome to my podcast, Show Me the Science. Now, every week, I'm talking about very interesting scientific topics and the science behind things. And this week, it's all about sleep. Now, sleep is a very, very important thing. It's very much part of what we are, isn't it? We all fall asleep. And it's a fascination, sleep, because why do we do it? Why do people get away with 5 hours a night, say? Why do some need 12? What's it for? And science is trying to address these questions. And it's really serious in one way, because we know sleep deprivation can cause all kinds of problems. So it's a very active area of research. Now, it seems dangerous, because if you fall asleep, you're vulnerable. You know, the saber-toothed tiger might come and eat you. So it seems to be a very strange thing that we do. And many animals do it. Many animals fall asleep as well, not just humans. Is it about dreaming? Does that help us in some way or other? Or is it about cleaning up our brains? Because during the day, your brain is very active and various toxins build up. Is that what it's about? We don't really know. It's certainly about the rhythms of life. So our bodies have these so-called circadian rhythms where our bodies do different things at different times. And sleep is by far and away the most dramatic evidence of this, because say about 9 o'clock at night or whatever, melatonin is released and then you begin to fall sleepy and you become unconscious. What a remarkable thing to happen to us. That's a very, very interesting phenomenon. Now, we know it's important because, and here's an experiment that sounds a little bit dodgy, I guess, but scientists wanted to ask the question, how important is it? If you keep mice awake, they will die. They will die after 4 or 5 days because you're keeping them awake. So it's very important. And of course, obviously, if you don't have enough sleep, then that can cause all kinds of problems. Now, early on in this, probably 30, 40 years ago, people clamped onto people's brains. They could measure the brain waves and they noticed that different brain waves would happen as you fall asleep. Now, you go into the first phase of sleep. These waves appear on the screen when the brain is measured. They're called beta waves. And you're kind of half awake, half asleep at that point. Then you go on to a deeper type of sleep called alpha waves, and now you're getting deeper and deeper. In that phase of sleep, it's interesting, some people suddenly jerk their muscles, spasm. It's called a myoclonic jerk. What's going on there? We don't know. Many people have this strange jerking response. And then we get to the third phase of sleep, and delta waves now begin to emerge on the screen. That's really, really deep sleep. You're now fully asleep. Your heart rate slows a bit. Your body temperature drops. That's why you might need a blanket. Some people wake up, actually, because they get a bit cold. So you need to have a blanket over you. And then you enter the final phase called REM, rapid eye movement. And that means your eyes start to flicker. Now, again, ancients saw people's eyes flickering and said, what's going on there? We now know that's when you dream, because if you wake someone up in the middle of REM, that means they're dreaming. So these phases are very well worked out. Now, one interesting thing is hypnotism.
Watch the pretty coin of gold, and you will do as you are told.
Now, hypnotists can make you kind of go asleep, and your brain starts going into the alpha waves. So it's a bit like a phase of sleep in a way, and then you're very suggestible. Hypnotists can say things to you, make you do things. So hypnotism is really kind of triggering a kind of a sleepiness in a way, I suppose, and the brain waves begin to change. And that must be the tone of voice of the hypnotists, or maybe they're swinging a little watch back and forth and your brain begins to go into these waves and now you can be hypnotized. And that's an interesting thing. We still don't fully know, of course, what exactly is happening there. But those different phases are very well worked out and the science behind them is really strong. And of course, we're wondering, what does each phase mean? And we don't really know. Now, the other thing is, when they began to study this, they wondered again what the function of this was. Now, why would you have these different waves and periods and so on? One reason they think is to get you away from predators. Now, there's a funny one. So maybe in the Stone Age, you crawled into a cave and then fell asleep and had a bit of a rest, and then you wouldn't be eaten by the predator. That may be one reason. It's to get you away from the environment is one possibility. The second is might be to save energy. So we need to rest, obviously. And it gives us a bit of time to rest. You will burn 10% less fuel from in your body, say, when you're asleep. So therefore, we know that you're not using up as much nutrients and so on when you're asleep. And that's another possible function to let you rest. But still, that's not a great one. I mean, it's a funny, you know, reason, I guess. The big one, and this has only happened in the past 3 or 4 years, really, so the science is still very active, it is to seem to clear out the toxins that build up during the day. Now, during the day, your brain is buzzing. All those neurons are firing. And there's like an exhaust fume comes off them. Every activity in biology generates waste products. And sure enough, the brain, you see a buildup of various waste products. One of them is called adenosine. And this builds up during the day. It's a kind of a consequence of the nerves firing. And adenosine actually makes you feel sleepy. So one reason you begin to nod off is this particular natural byproduct, if you like, the fumes, in a way, begin to make you feel a bit sleepy. Now, this is a very important discovery here, possibly the most important discovery in science. Caffeine blocks adenosine. Now, we all need caffeine. I do. Everybody takes a shot of coffee. What the caffeine is doing is it's blocking adenosine and making you feel more awake then. Because remember, as I said, adenosine kind of makes you feel sleepy. So caffeine counteracts adenosine. Just by chance, caffeine was discovered to do that. So we know adenosine is very, very important. Now, a second byproduct, which is probably even more important, is a thing called beta amyloid. Now, beta amyloid is a protein made in the brain through activity of neurons. And if that builds up, you are in big trouble, because beta amyloid is the cause of Alzheimer's disease. It clogs up a part of the brain called the hippocampus and damages that part of the brain. At night, you're clearing away the beta amyloid all the time. And that's why we think people who don't get enough sleep are at higher risk of Alzheimer's. So people who've had, say, well known for getting 4 hours a night, and this studies have done this, over a number of years then, the beta amyloid may begin to build up and that may cause Alzheimer's. Margaret Thatcher is one example of this. She was famous for getting, say, 4 hours sleep a night.
No, no, no.
And then, sadly, she got really severe Alzheimer's. And maybe it was because she wasn't giving her brain enough time to clear the beta amyloid that's building up. So again, that notion that one function of sleep then is to allow the brain to clean itself, in a way, of these byproducts. And the really great science that happened here was, again, about 3 years ago, they were able to image the brains of mice, and they noticed at nighttime, the sluice gates opened on the brain. These special channels began to open as the mouse went through sleep. And these little channels flushed away these toxins straight down to the liver. Now, the liver is a really important part of our bodies. Its job, actually, is to clear away toxins. So here we had a fantastic piece of science, let's face it. These little sluice gates open up and they flush away the toxins down to your liver, and your brain is now cleaned. So we think this may be the major function of sleep, cleaning up the brain at night, because your brain is so active. And the animals that do fall asleep have very, very active brains, like us, like mammals. You know, we've all got buzzing brains, I guess, and those brains need to be cleaned every night. That's why sleep, we think, is so important. Now, the next part of this then gets even more interesting, I guess, because, you know, how much sleep do you need? Now, this varies, like most things in biology. Some people don't need very much. The minimum is probably 6 hours. If you go less than that, you could be in trouble. And some people get away with 6. I do myself. I can survive on 6 hours sleep, I guess, a night. The maximum is about 10 hours. There's a range here. And some people get away with less. Some have more. And one of my favorite studies of all time is called the International Bedroom Poll. Now, this isn't what you think it is, asking people questions in bedrooms. This is actually about sleep. And they did a massive assessment of sleep and the number of hours and so on. Lots of data, tremendous data, thousands of people. And we love big numbers. Guess which country has the least sleep on average? The United States of America. On average, they're getting 40 minutes less than the average. Guess which country has the most? The Germans get more sleep. They have about 30 minutes more than average.
And Germany are the champions of the world.
But it's a real difference there. And again, people think that the Americans are sleep deprived. And in fact, shockingly, in Ireland as well, the average person is actually sleep deprived. Now, this will have all kinds of consequences, we think. You need to get a good night's sleep. It's obvious in a way. The other bit that these studies have shown is as you get older, you need less. So babies need a huge amount because their brains are still developing and they're clearing up the toxins as the brain buzzes away. And then as the baby grows up and gets older and older, you need less and less sleep. And old people often report this, that they get away with a lot less. So it seems to be age dependent as well. So a big range there in the number of hours. Now, the other thing to say is often you fall asleep during the day. This is called power napping. And it's tremendous, by the way. Lots of science has shown if you get a 20-minute nap in the afternoon, you wake up rejuvenated. Now, if you go for too long, your brain goes into delta waves and you're in a deep sleep. And that's not tough. You've got to stay asleep for hours then. And if you wake up in the middle of that, you're going to be in a really bad mood. So try to get 20 minutes nap. I mean, some people drink coffee, actually, then have a nap, and then the coffee wakes them up. And that can work for drivers, for example. It's recommended, actually, as a thing to do. So power napping is good. It seems to be a little bit of, you know, you're putting money in the sleep bank, in a way, and that can be very beneficial. So that's a useful thing. And, of course, the Mediterranean countries knew this. The siesta, famously, probably was invented for that reason, because it's really good for your health if you have a little nap in the afternoon. Now, the other thing to mention then is this notion of circadian rhythms. Now, as I said earlier, you know, sleep is the biggest evidence for this. So we have these rhythms in our bodies over 24 hours. When you fall asleep, that's dramatic. And they've studied that in great detail. What happens there is your body makes a natural sleeping pill, if you will. It's called melatonin. And that begins to climb on average in people about 8, 9 p.m. in the evening. Melatonin goes up, and that's the main trigger to make you feel sleepy. And in fact, you can take melatonin as a supplement now to help people fall asleep. It's sometimes used for jet lag, for instance, to help people regulate their sleep. So there's the dramatic evidence that we have this rhythm. And guess what controls melatonin? Sunlight. So your brain, through your eye, knows what time of day it is, incredibly. And as the sunlight begins to go away, the intensity of it, the melatonin gene is expressed, and now melatonin is made. And it's all about sunlight. It's incredibly, I think, evolution. Allowed us to evolve a way for our brains to know what time of the day it is, and then to promote us to go to sleep as darkness comes, you see. And the idea there being, again, darkness means go and protect yourself and crawl into a cave somewhere and fall asleep, I suppose, is the idea. So it's tied into sunlight, which is very interesting. Other things during the day, you're at your most alert on average at 10 a.m. in the morning. So if you want to do an exam or learn a new sort of skill, early morning is good, 10 a.m., 11 a.m., your brain is at its most alert. At 5 o'clock in the afternoon, your muscles are strongest. Now we're talking maybe 5% stronger. And again, we don't know why that is, but we do know athletes often get their personal best in an event in the afternoon, late afternoon, because they have this slightly stronger muscles, isn't it strange?
He's done it again! A new world record for Usain Bolt!
But again, the science has measured this very, very closely. So this really interesting sort of, staging of things in your body as you move through the day and eventually you fall asleep. And of course, during the night, melatonin falls again and now you wake up, you see. So it's very simple in a way. It's all about melatonin is one factor. There may be others, but it seems to be the key one. One other thing that's been found recently, which is very relevant to us all, is blue light will block melatonin production. Now, where do you get blue light? Off your device. So if you're on your iPhone or your smartphone or your whatever it might be at night, that blue light is suppressing melatonin. That will keep you awake and prevent you from going into this nice rhythmic sleep. That's why you should try to get away from blue light as you head towards bedtime. It's one way to regulate sleep, I guess. And that was a recent finding in a way. So turn your screens off, for crying out loud, if you want to get a good night's sleep, I guess. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, though, is obviously there's differences, as I said earlier, between people. Some need 9 hours, some get away with 6 hours, say. Guess what? We divide into night owls and morning larks. Some people love the night and they go to sleep a bit later. So their melatonin is shifted maybe towards midnight. And then they'd like to go to sleep around 2, 3 in the morning. And then they wake up a bit later because you still need the 6 to 9 hours. Some people wake up early and buzz around the place all day and they fall asleep at 9 p.m. They're called morning larks. Now, what are you? Are you a night owl or a morning lark? I'm definitely a night owl. Vampires were night owls. No such thing as vampires, but if there was, I bet they'd be night owls. And it seems like as if there's a range. I mean, some people are definitely night owls, some are morning larks, some are in the middle somewhere. And again, the big question is, why is this? We don't really know. But guess what? It could be genetic. And they found a gene. The best evidence for this is a gene called PER2, P-E-R-2. PER means period, which period of day. If you carry one form of that gene, the longer form, you will be a lark. If you carry another, you're going to be an owl. And the longer form makes you a lark, actually. And that's incredible. And very strong science behind this now. I could take a sample of your blood now and I could look at that PER2 gene and kind of predict with reasonable accuracy, are you a morning lark or a night owl? So it's very interesting. And then the other gene that's been discovered, which is the fascination, is called DEC2, D-E-C-2. Now, this was found in a family of people who got away with 4 hours a night sleep. Everybody in the family, 4 hours. Can you imagine going around their house? They'd be up all the time, annoying you. But DEC2 was different in that family. And it turns out if you carry that gene, that variant in DEC2, you can get away with 4 hours sleep a night. So this just tells us we are machines. These are like cogs in your clock, as it were, ticking away in your brain. And the cog might run a bit more slowly, might run a bit more quickly, and then you become either a morning lark or a night owl. So DEC2 has been studied in great detail. Now, the reason why this is actually slightly serious is it is about your health. because you must get a decent night's sleep. If you don't get a good night's sleep, you can get away with one night, actually, that hasn't gone well. And we all have a bad night's sleep occasionally, and we can't get to sleep and so on. We're the only animal, actually, that can purposely keep awake. Humans will keep themselves up all night if they want, you know, which is strange. Other animals don't do that. We can override these systems, which is interesting. But again, you know, you need to get a good night's sleep. And we know if you are sleep deprived, your immune system, my favourite thing, doesn't work properly. Because a thing called cortisol, which is kind of a stress hormone, goes up because you're stressed, because you haven't got enough sleep. And therefore, you could be in trouble because you might get more infections. And in fact, we know one of the great ways to keep your immune system healthy, and let's face it, in the times we live in, we need every help we can, is a good night's sleep. And again, that seems to be key to keep the hormones right in your blood and make sure the immune cells are happy, because they need a good night's sleep as well, I guess is the idea. Now, chronically, if you're and not able to sleep over a long time, these health problems can become a huge issue. Obesity happens, actually, is one thing from a bad night's sleep, because you're probably eating at the wrong times. But there's a link into things like cancer, even for people who are sleep deprived and, you know, have chronic sleep problems. So if you have a sleep problem, go to your GP for a start, because they'll help. And then you can do a thing called sleep hygiene. You get into a routine, you dim the lights at night, don't drink caffeine after, say, 12 noon. There's various tips. And even if you go online, you'll find things you can do to help you get a good night's sleep. So it's very, very important that we all get a good night's sleep. Now, the last thing I want to tell you is a really fascinating thing. And this does sound like science fiction, but they can modify mice now with changing these genes. And you can make a mouse now by giving them the DEC2 variant that allows them to get away with a tiny amount of sleep, you see. So here's a question to finish with. If you had a choice, would you want your gene for DEC2 changed to allow you to get away with 4 hours sleep a night? Could be a good thing. You might stay up all night to get lucky, to quote that great song. I'm up all night to get lucky. Can't beat these music references. But would you like to sleep for 4 hours and then have all the 20 hours a day? You could then truly seize the day in a healthy way if you had the right DEC2 variant. But remember, and very importantly, try to get a good night's sleep. I hope this podcast hasn't made you sleepy. I hope you're still listening. On the other hand, if it's helped you get a good night's sleep, that's fine by me as well. So thank you very much for listening. And please tune in to my podcast every week, and also listen to me on Pat Kenny on News Talk. Thanks very much. What is this I'm feeling? If you wanna leave, I'm with it.